Are you tired of spending your time comfortable with the uncomfortable? Ready to finally step out and find your joy, your passion, and start really living? Then welcome to the Pro Growth Podcast. My name is Dan, and my goal is to connect with and inspire others to help you find the direction you should go. Welcome back to another episode of the Pro Growth Podcast. You might have noticed we took the last few weeks off, but that's because we wanted to shift the direction in some of the conversations that we're having on the podcast this year. So I took time to refresh. I hope that you did too. But welcome back, and I'm excited to be here with you. Before I get too far, I just want to thank my friend Wayne over at Percheron Coffee for keeping me awake, keeping me inspired. Check his coffee out. He's got great stuff, and support another small business. So today we wanted to talk to you a little bit about personal development and social community, finances, really seven key areas, the seven major, if I could speak today, the seven major areas of life that lead to more fulfillment, more joy, not just in your life, but also in your work. And I'm excited to be joined by my friends and colleagues in the coaching world, Anita Anello and Colleen Law. Welcome, ladies. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Dan.
Absolutely. And since you can't hear them, that was Colleen and Anita in succession. So you'll get used to their voices in this conversation. But yeah, I'm excited that y'all joined me here. I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today and what we're going to be sharing with others as we invite them. So we'll just put it out there right now that we're working on launching a new masterclass where we're going to be diving deeper into each of these areas and helping you find or create work that is more meaningful, more fulfilling, and more profitable in your life. Whether you know it's changing jobs or moving into a new career path, we're going to help you uncover what that looks like, where you can start, and how you can simplify the process of eliminating all of the overwhelm that might come with thinking about taking on a new direction altogether. Colleen, you're a great person to speak about that. I know because you're heavily immersed in the education world and you've transitioned yourself. Anita, you have quite a bit of experience that you bring to the table and you've helped many people walk through this process. So I know each of you has plenty to share. I'd love to start with just a little bit about both of your backgrounds, kind of why we're here together. I think I've talked enough on my podcast about who I am and what I do, but for those that are interested, I'm a veteran and I've realized that, you know, what was then called leadership. So most of my life I've been in leadership roles and I've been challenging other people to dream bigger, to do more, to take action, to improve their own lives and the things that they're offering the world. And now I'm spending my time doing that in conversations, individually, right? I spend my time in conversations with people and people who inspire me, people whom I might have the opportunity to inspire, and it looks a lot like coaching. So, Anita, can we start with you? Just a little bit about your background, why you're here, and you know, as it pertains to where we're going.
Sure. So, you and I have known each other for the last couple of years, and you know part of my story, but just to share with our audience here. So I had spent the bulk of my career in tech. I worked for one of the largest software manufacturers in the world in the ERP space. If you don't know what those letters mean, don't worry about it. And I really actually, I loved my career. I was very, very good at what I did. I had a really refined skill set in the consulting space, and I had owned businesses. I had really done a lot of the things that I enjoyed doing in my career for many, many years. And then I had children a little bit later in life. And so as I started having children, what I noticed for my husband and I is my heart was really genuinely, it was breaking to go to like the short version is my heart was breaking as I was going to work every day and leaving my little kids at home. I traveled a lot. Again, I still had a great environment around me and fabulous coworkers and had done so much stuff in business. But there was a shift. There was a radical shift inside of me. As a Christian, there was a radical shift inside of me. So as a mom, as a wife, as a Christian, all these things kind of It was kind of subtle at first, but then became a little bit more louder, shall I say, in my life. And so my desire to stay home with my kids was just kept getting stronger and stronger. And like I said, I had traveled a lot for work. And so the more I traveled and the more I had to leave my babies at home, the harder it got. And so then we came across an opportunity where I had the opportunity to retire pretty early, like in my early 40s, and come home and homeschool my kids for several years. And that has been a very long season for us. We're still a homeschooling family. We love to travel. We love to have the freedom to be able to do that, build character, all that great stuff. But then in the last couple of years, as my kids started, my younger kids started getting older, I would go to my husband. I'd say, like, I have this desire to start something again, but to start something for me, not necessarily start something for somebody else. Like, nothing against going back to work for an employer, but I really was honing that skill of saying, I really want to do something that's more unique to me as an individual. So in the last several years, I've started a couple of different businesses, one of which is coaching those powerful Christian working moms that want to start something for themselves. So we want to be able to be intentional in raising our kids, build businesses around that, or refine our work scenarios, and not sacrifice marriage and kids along the way as Christians in the marketplace. And so that's really a quick overview of some of the sweet spots of my heart and then some of the topics that I'll be talking about today.
That's awesome. Yes, so much transition there and really clearly demonstrating, you know, that navigating, how do we use all of the things that we bring to the table in a completely new direction? And I didn't really talk about that in my story, but really, you know, that's how, what landed me on this thing we call coaching is that transition for me, right? And being able to look back over career and different jobs along the way, you know, over most of my life, and being able to reframe those things. So that's really what we're talking about for the majority of this conversation, I think, is that transition. How do you shift or make a 360, 180 degree turn, whatever it may be, whatever you want to label it, into something completely different without the overwhelm? And that's where I know we have spent some time together. The three of us have spent some time together helping people navigate that. I think people start out and they say, you know, I really want to do something different like you've done, but I don't know where to start, or I don't know what that looks like. And we have, well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'll leave it right there. And Colleen, let's go to you for a minute. Share a little bit about your journey, if you will, and anything else you'd like.
Sure. Well, my journey actually begins in Washington, D.C. I was working in D.C., which was a completely foreign place for me, and a place that I'm glad to have left. But I was working in D.C. in health policy research, and I realized that I wanted to focus more on mental health policy and research. So I went to school in Massachusetts. I got in school in Massachusetts, where I met my husband and married and had kids. And then shortly thereafter became a widow. Mm. And did not know what I was going to do for a long, long time. I had to navigate the financial straits that many people find themselves in when they lose a spouse. And eventually I managed to get myself together and went back to school and got my PhD. From there, I became an educator and worked a great deal. I work at a Christian university, and which is where I love to be. I love to share my Christian bent. And I just love talking about how God has worked in my life. And even though I love teaching, I wanted to do something else. There was more I wanted to do. And I wasn't quite sure at first, but after much soul-seeking prayer and classes, you know, courses that I went through, I found that part of that was to build a business and sort of become my own boss. I am still teaching, but I have developed two businesses on the side. And one of them is academic coaching, where I help dissertation students who are stuck in writing their dissertations anywhere in the process become unstuck and find out exactly what it is they want to say in their dissertations. So that's really what I do. And I use mindset and personality to figure out what the problems are and get them back on the road. And that's where I am right now.
I love so much about that, Colleen. Thank you so much for sharing. And you reminded me of something that a great coach, I consider a mentor, and Rich Litvin says, life changes and suddenly everything looks different, right? We're in one place, we're doing one thing, and then something happens, life changes, and we find ourselves in a completely new place. And you are a clear demonstration of those words and the successes that you've experienced along the way. But something both of you said, and I realized as you were talking, Colleen, that the three of us have in common is that we all pursued entrepreneurial adventures. And so I just want to lead off by saying that if you have a bent, as Colleen says, towards entrepreneurship, and you're in that season of life where you've had a successful career, or maybe you haven't had a successful career, but you've worked hard and you've gotten to this place in your life where you really want to reinvent yourself, so to speak, and in a new way, and use the skills and abilities and leadership you've learned along the way to lend itself to something new. And entrepreneurship is something you're seeking. We would certainly love to speak with you about that. And we would invite you to join our upcoming masterclass. I forgot to share a link earlier, so I don't know that we've agreed on the link, but I'm going to throw it out there and just say that it's danw.us/masterclass is how you can find out more. If that is incorrect for any reason, I'll jump in with an update on a corrected link, and I'll make sure the correct link is in our show notes. So I'll just carry on with that. But it's not just for entrepreneurship, right? We have sat with leaders from various communities who simply want to find more meaningful work. And that's a career transition or a job transition, finding something that feels more meaningful to them, something where they can be a part of a bigger mission maybe. And they recognize that their skills and talents lend themselves well to supporting another organization in a much bigger capacity, or maybe not a bigger capacity, but where they can still find more meaning in their work. So it's not just entrepreneurs. I want to make that clarification, because as they listen to the three of us, I think they might be bent towards entrepreneurship. But Anita, go ahead.
So one thing that I heard just recently that I really love, one of my coaches, a guy that I follow, was talking about, hey, there's no job shame here. Yeah. And so as we break down, like, when you love your job, then go after that. Like, let's figure out, let's help you figure out ways that you can do that better, ways that you can do more of the job that you love, ways that you can delegate off the tasks that you don't love. Like, when we talk about, we all know, but for the audience's benefit, when we talk about going after a life that you love that's built around, like, going after the life that you love, that's all those components that we're going to talk about today. But the job is, when you're in a job you love, sometimes those folks can get inside of an entrepreneurial community and they can feel shame about continuing on in their job. And so I just want to be super clear up front that there's no job shame in this community whatsoever. The other thing is, remember, entrepreneurship is also a mindset. So I can be a phenomenal, and I learned this in my career in the software industry. One of the reasons why I was so successful in the software industry is because I had an entrepreneurial mindset that everything I looked at, I was a master problem solver. I still am today, certainly as a mom, certainly as a business owner, certainly as an employee. It doesn't really matter how I get paid. to be an entrepreneurial, really at the core of it is that you're a problem solver. And that's really how God's created us to be, as made in his image, is that we're made to be these problem solvers in every single scenario, regardless of where your income comes from.
Colleen.
I'd actually like to jump off on that one as well. Just so everyone knows, I actually stayed in my education position and built these other two businesses. Yeah. So we're not just focusing on entrepreneurship. There's an array of situations you can be in, whether that's you're an entrepreneur, you are an employee, you own your own business, you do a combination of those, whatever. This is all about where you see yourself and where you want to be in the future, what life you want to build. And that's what we're working on today.
I absolutely agree. Well, and I think the three of us represent that so well because, you know, Anita comes from a very successful background in a completely different world from the rest of us. Colleen, you have a successful background in the education industry and having built two businesses sort of on the side, although I'd probably challenge that they take up probably just as much of your time as teaching does. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it essentially they're side gigs, so to speak, that you created and have turned into something that became more. And me, you know, I had a career in the military and I had some experiences even before that because I joined the military at 26 and spent, you know, my time there in a career. And then here I am full-time as an entrepreneur who's been in several opportunities, so to speak, and now has moved into this world of coaching full time. So I think we represent quite a spectrum together, which is why I think we partnered together, right? So, hey, Anita, you started to allude to one of the topics. Really briefly, I mentioned that there's seven core areas that we believe as a team that we need to focus on development in, maybe not necessarily all the areas, but it's the wheel of life, right? The wheel of life has these seven major elements in it. And when one of them is missing or one of them is weak, it's like riding on a flat tire. You know, you get that thump, thump, thump going down the highway, you know, or, you know, if it's a, let's go back for a minute. If it's a stone wheel and you've got a triangle chunk of it missing, that's probably going to make for a rough ride. So what we really wanted to focus on today was just touching on those areas. So I'm going to mention them quickly, and then we can start some more discussion around each of them. Anita, you started into talking about one of them, and that's career. So around the wheel, it's career, it's financial, social, family, physical, personal development, and spiritual. We've talked a little bit already about some of the spiritual aspects I didn't mention, but if anybody's listened to this podcast before, they know I'm on a journey to be more connected spiritually in my faith in Christianity. I am a Christian as well, and those are my beliefs, and I'm learning to live into them. And I loved what you said, Anita, about being created in the image of the Creator, because one of the conversations I know has happened in my life has been this thought that I am not a creator. I'm not a creative, right? I've been in the marketing world and decided that marketing from a design and creative perspective wasn't really my place. But then I recognized that, one, if I'm created in the image of the Creator, then I too must be creative. And I started looking then at where am I creative, and found that coming to me naturally is the technical side of executing marketing activities. And so I spent a lot of time doing that for other people, where it made their head spin to think about connecting the dots in technology and making their designs and other pieces come to life in a marketing campaign. So I thought that was a great point. And just a little bit about my background with that. I've shared it openly here on the podcast. So I'll try and find that episode and share a link for anybody that wants to go back and listen to my personal journey with Christianity and my development of faith. But I don't want to take too much time with that. So let's just jump in. You started talking, Anita, about career. Do you want to jump in and start there?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
I kind of see this this really interesting intersection for me in my walk and in my journey, certainly in the last stretch of my faith coming together with my career and my family, and how those pieces actually intersect for me. And so I had mentioned earlier that one of the things that I found as a director in this technology space, and then having kids and wanting to be able to stay home with kids, I mean, it started a long time ago. I remember when our middle child was born. So my age range of kids goes from 12 to 28, by the way. And so when the younger ones were born, because the oldest, my top oldest is my stepson. So when the younger ones were born, I looked at my husband and I said, babe, I kind of have a heart to homeschool. How do you feel about that? And Vince was like, I don't know, whatever. Sure. And so, you know, the kids had just been born. It was like, we didn't really worry about that. But as they got a little bit older, then that desire just kept growing and growing and growing. And then I was raised in an environment where we were around God, but to be honest, looking back, didn't really have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so, walked through that process of getting to know Jesus closer. And then my heart really started getting fired up about what was important, and my priorities started shifting. And so where my career had been my top priority for a lot of years, as I had children then and was in a healthy marriage, then those things started to become a bigger priority. And so I just really, I can think back, the biggest thing I can think back is I really wanted to be intentional. I wanted to be intentional about how we as a family and how we as a couple were spending our time together. I had this picture in my mind that if I'm going off and working 60 or 80 hours a week, and my husband's going off and he's working his full-time job, like, where's our marriage going to be in that? And where's our family going to be in that? Now, I had previously been in a marriage that was not successful at all. There was not a lot of great things going on there. And so that was another element for me that created this environment that really had this driving force inside of me that said, I really want to be intentional. So pulling together my faith and my family and seeing that intersection of how my career works was really, really important to me. So that worked for years, especially when the kids were little. We had great support systems, all that kind of stuff, like nannies and housekeepers and all those kinds of things. But then there became a kind of like a critical turning point, as I mentioned earlier, whereas the kids got older, it became harder and harder to leave the house to be able to go off and do this career. There was also a couple of things that shifted in my career and in my industry that just gave me the opportunity to be able to say, it's time for me to shift and actually do some role reversals with my husband and come home on a more full-time basis. I was at home, or we were traveling together as a family, and that got hard. That got really, really hard, just being really transparent about it. Because, you know, you can't always take kids on the road when you got to go speak at conferences and stuff like that. So for me, that's where that intersection of seeing those pieces to come together, that's really what started like phase one of the changes, and then what led to where we are right now of phase, I'll call it phase two of the changes, to be able to say, hey, I think it's time to do something different again. What's cool is in that process, as my husband and I talked about it, as I journaled about it, as I got wisdom from friends, my coworkers, coaches, that kind of stuff, I just saw God. I can look back and say, I saw God leading me step by step by step in the midst of those choices to lead to the season that we're in right now of building businesses again on the side and having this interesting cross section of being a entrepreneur and a believer and a homeschooling mom and a, you know, have a healthy marriage and that kind of stuff.
I love that. And I just want to offer some perspective on career, because you pointed out some great tidbits, and I want to offer a little bit different perspective in that what I recognize for me in career is I spent a lot of time in developing my career, but I was unintentionally sacrificing in other areas of my life, including some of the ones you talked about, my family, sacrificed my family, which led at a great, came at a great cost, right? And I've talked about that openly here as well, but came at a great cost for me. Fortunately, I recognized that through some of the things that I was doing at the time. You know, I spent a lot of time in personal development and just being able to get in touch with my feelings, my thoughts, and recognizing that I had the ability to change all of that. And it's just so beautiful how all these things come full circle, not to throw too many puns in there about this wheel of life, but they're really all tied together. So there's going to be in our conversation some of this crossover and some of this blended experience and why we thought it was a good idea to talk about these seven major elements. Because when you're lacking in one, then you probably are lacking in finding that fulfillment that you might be searching for. And when you're not fulfilled in your family life, you know, you might feel weak. When you're not fulfilled in your career and your work, or you're sacrificing in your career and your work to the detriment of other things in your life, finances, family, social, you know, that comes with the cost. And so it's important that we talk about and share openly those things. So thank you so much for that, Anita. And you hit on, I have career, I have family, I have spiritual. I also heard some other development in there as well. But those are the areas that Anita is going to be sharing more about as we get ready for this masterclass. And I'm excited to hear how some of those things have come together, even at a deeper level from you, Anita. So
yeah, thanks, Dan. The one other thing that I noticed, and you alluded to this, what I started recognizing in that whole wheel of life is I was actually stealing from some areas to try to make alternate areas work. And yes, that comes crashing down. It really does. You can't sustain stealing from some areas of the wheel for very long without other areas being radically impacted. I know that's part of your story. And I know it's actually part of all of our stories. I love that.
Yeah. And it stood out to me as we started this conversation months ago, in putting the work we've done together into creating these masterclasses and so good. And I see it over and over in the conversations I'm having with people, right? It just shows up when they are focused so much into one area, you know, personal development. Man, people can spend a lot of time in personal development and beating their head against the wall, wondering why I can't make progress, yet they're sacrificing in those other areas in their life, one, two, or even more of those other areas. You know, their physical health has suffered, and that drains them of energy, and it causes them to not be able to pursue the things they most want to pursue. It's just, it's all tied so very well together. So great point.
And that's
Colleen.
I was going to pop in and
yeah, please.
There we go. I was going to pop in and say, you know, I have experienced detriments in all of these areas of life. Mm. Okay. And have become keenly aware that there has to be some type of balance in each of those areas for my life to move forward. And I have seen for a long time now the steps God has taken to bring me to the point where I'm at, whether it was going through all of the financial challenges that I had after Ben died, or whether it was focusing so much on my education so I could finish my dissertation. I mean, I had to go back to school to do that. And so for a year and a half, I did nothing but what stuff that was related to my education, you know, so and that was to the detriment of all other areas of life, you know. And then when I came out of school, I was looking at my career. What am I going to do now? Because I had focused so much on becoming a researcher and didn't realize that teaching was really what I wanted to do. So then I spent a lot of time focusing on personal development and career development, and finally got to where I thought I wanted to be and where I still am, which is teaching. But I have had to go through a lot of mindset changes over the past 20, 30 years. Okay. And each step along the way has provided more evidence that each of these areas of life is important. And yes, right now, I mean, most of my friends and family know that I am out on a journey for my physical health to get better. Okay. And I'm loving the journey for the most part, but it's just as my health gets better, everything else is getting better as well, whether that's financial, social, et cetera. So you can be healthy, and the point is to be healthy in all seven areas of life.
Yes. Well, you know, we started this podcast with sort of a plan, but, you know, I love Mike Tyson's quote. Everybody shares that, you know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And I just got punched in the face, metaphorically speaking. And what I realized is that I think the best way to approach this is just to talk about some of our tips and experiences along each of these lines. And kind of where we've been going with this, it's what led me to that conclusion. So I'm going to go down the list here in a minute, but I have to respond to what you're saying there, because this year I've been intentional, right? I haven't shared yet, I guess, with the world on my podcast, at least, that, you know, my three words for the year are no, intentional or intentionality, and freedom. And what am I doing to live into those intentions in my life? I started with a daily routine of exercise, right? 30 minutes a day is what I'm committed to. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It's just movement, because I recognized that I had been sacrificing in the area of health and my physical well-being. And so I started being more intentional about that. And then spiritual has been a journey, and I've recommitted to being intentional about that this year. I start my day every day. My first priority is to wake up, drink water, and then open my Bible app after I've gotten out of bed and grabbed a cup of coffee, because I set my coffee to auto. Thank you, Wayne. And and I have my cup of coffee. I sit on my back porch and enjoy. This morning was quite crisp, the warm Florida air. I sit on my porch, I open up my Bible app, and I spend time intentionally there. And then when I'm through, I go exercise and I go on about my day. And just in the past few weeks, my energy levels and the way I feel about every conversation I'm having has dramatically changed. And what a benefit that is. And so I think we can cross the physical component off of our list with that. Before I do, I'll come to Anita, because I'm sure you have something to add. So I don't want to exclude you, Anita. Those are, I know Colleen shared about her physical journey and the way it's sort of shaped how she's moving forward. And I gave a couple tips about what that looks like for me. Daily exercise, doesn't matter what it is, just 30 minutes of moving. And I'm committed to 7 days a week, although I gave myself a little break and said, if I get five, I'm completely satisfied. So we'll see how it goes, but I am definitely committed to those. Anita, did you want to share?
Well, one thing that I noticed when I first, are we talking about just physical side or the wheel total?
Starting with physical, we're just going to go through the whole wheel. But since we already started talking about, Colleen opened us up to the physical aspect.
Okay. So physical stuff for me, this has been an area that I've been on this journey for a real long time. I do not like working out, let me just say right up front, but I know if I don't exercise every day, I try to shoot for 6 days a week. I recently was challenged on that and to making sure that I take a day of rest, because I typically would, you know, walk or do yoga, or I used to run, that kind of stuff. More than anything, the reason that I do it, and it makes me think back when Vince and I were dating, my husband and I were dating, he would ask me, he's like, why do you work out so much? Well, oh, it's, come on, it's not that important, you know? And I was like, honestly, mentally, if I don't work out, everybody else suffers. So that's usually my driving force for me to work out. I do have a morning routine, which actually similar to Dan's actually helps that whole process of being able to wake up, have some quiet time, focus on what God's word says. Okay, and then what's my intention for the day? And then go and exercise before I start doing the things that I do as a business owner and a homeschooling mom and a wife and all that kind of stuff. And so those things are key for me because when I'm healthy, then I can serve my people. And so I need to be able to be healthy on a daily basis. That includes what I eat, what I do for movement, all that kind of stuff. I also will say, as you get older, you feel like that stuff is not as important, and it's even more important than it was when I was in my 20s. So that's probably where I will chime in on the physical stuff.
Yeah.
One other just encouragement. When you picture in your mind's eye a wheel, I just want to kind of dispel any myths. We don't have to be like maximum capacity wheels, like the biggest wheels that are out there, by the way, in order to be successful in all the wheels, all the areas of the wheel of life. Your wheel can be small and efficient and effective. In other words, if you ranked everything on the wheel from 1 to 10, not everything has to be at a 10. It's okay to have everything at whatever number works for you and for your life. So I just want to release freedom out over everybody. If you're picturing and talking about all these areas that we're discussing, there's no comparison, and not everything has to be perfect all the time. We're just going to dispel that myth right there.
Well, and I love that you brought that up. I agree with you 100%. So thank you for sharing that. And I would just add that is a great tool, right? You outline these 7 major areas of life, and you assess yourself and where you're at this month or this quarter, and focus on developing in the areas that you think you'd like to focus on, being intentional about them for this month. And you build in routines or build in habits that help you focus time and attention on that without focusing all of your time and attention, right? Remembering that the other areas still need a little bit of nurturing. And reassess yourself in a month or at the end of the quarter and see where you're at, what's next for you, where you might be lacking. And that's a great tool for just keeping tabs on where you're at in each of those areas and what might need some more attention this month or what might need more attention this quarter. And what might just need some nurturing, and not forgetting the nurturing of those other areas. And it doesn't matter where you land, right? If 2 in all those areas is where you are comfortable and where you're excited and happy, then great. Focus on keeping them at a 2. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But yeah, that's a great tool for assessing yourself and in what areas might need some attention or areas you might like to develop more fully. So that lends itself well, I think, to personal development, which is next. If you look at the circle, the way I've written it, personal development ties right to physical, because what I've found, Anita, is I don't always enjoy working out. I used to be a trainer, a CrossFit trainer, for those that might not know. And I really enjoyed working out for a few days a week. And then active recovery is what we called the other days of the week, where we didn't spend time lifting heavy things and putting them back down. But there's a note there, by the way. The benefit of functional movement is life-changing as you grow older, because we have to be able to do certain things on a day-to-day basis, picking things up off the floor, reaching up above our head to get something out of a cabinet, bending over. You know, those are all ideas of functional movement. And for anybody that's wondering why people are so heavily engaged in CrossFit, well, there's a draw to competition, first of all, but then picking up in heavy things and setting them back down seems to have some draw to it as well. And then the mobility and functional movement that's incorporated into all of those things is really where the draw is, because we recognize that the stronger we are, the less chance we have of being injured on a regular basis, falling down, losing our balance, mobility, you know, not being able to do for ourselves as we grow older. So those are important. But what I found, going back to my original point, is in personal development aspect of it, just getting out and taking a walk in the morning for 30 minutes first of all, is exercise. But that's where I spend time in personal development. I'm listening to podcasts that are inspiring or offering new insights and new ideas for me, or I'm listening to something else that provokes thought, something else that's inspiring. It induces positive energy for me. So that's my time, whether I'm walking, whether I'm actually working out, I listen to podcasts. So where do you spend your time from personal development perspective there, Colleen? Let's go to you next.
Well, actually, I do much of what you do. And that is when I'm walking, when I'm exercising, et cetera, I listen to personal development material, whether it's a book, podcasts, Clubhouse conversations, you know, I'm constantly trying to fill myself with uplifting material and inspiring material. And even when I'm not walking and doing exercise, I tend to read a lot. I have always been a reader.
Yes.
Okay. And so you can find me reading two or three books at one time. Okay.
You're one of those.
I'm one of those.
I've tried that. Sometimes I get lost and frustrated, but I actually have been found to do that a couple times too.
Yeah. It's one way of reading books, but it's where I find, when I'm reading two or three books at a time, I try to use books that are in the same general area so that there is cross connections made, you know, and when I take notes on books, I'm actually building conceptual models. I draw conceptual maps of these books, and I'm able to link one book to another, to the third, you know? So I spend, and you know, an hour every night before I go to bed reading personal development material. And I find that it provokes in me thought patterns throughout my sleep time. And ultimately, when I wake up in the morning, I feel better if I've spent time the night before going to bed, you know, reading uplifting material.
Yes, I love that. I also really enjoy reading. More so as I've gotten older, and I spend my time mostly in personal and professional development materials. Occasionally I will read fiction just to break it up and do something different, change my thought patterns, so to speak. And in that, I find that reading a fiction book on occasion will help me do that. And I like true crime, if that counts as fiction. I don't think it does, but, I digress. I would also say that, you know, beyond reading, one of the things that I found really valuable in the personal development space is, the podcasts, and I can't listen to the books, but writing gratitude journal, that's the words I'm looking for. So keeping a gratitude journal or just what I go back to heavily is, you know, founded in positive psychology, or the often referred to as the founder of positive psychology, is Dr. Martin Seligman. He created this routine called Three Good Things. And it's just taking note of three good things that happened to you throughout your day, even if the good things have come from bad events. So bad things that have happened, what lessons can we take away can count as good things. And by doing that, also promotes that change in thought patterns as we go to sleep at night and as we wake up in the morning. So those are great points too, Colleen. Anita?
Don't you guys find too that as you are working on personal development, like I'm a reader pre-COVID, I love to take classes. Like I'm a teacher at heart, the classroom environment. I love being a student. But don't you find that as you're reading or absorbing information in a personal development way, your mind is expanding on what's possible, but you're also, I found that it just releases creativity. So as I unplug from maybe doing work or maybe doing a chore or a task or whatever, and then I plug into something that that triggers some new thoughts or new ideas or reconfirms an idea that I had in the personal development space, don't you find that also it unlocks your creativity in a whole new way that you're not necessarily doing if you're just staying, I would even venture to say, if you're just staying stuck in your own thoughts all of the time and just repeating those thoughts all the time, right? We're not really supposed to do that, right? God has even made us in the way to be able to learn and to grow, and to be able to not just hang around and stay stuck on our own opinions all the time. So what about you guys? Do you find that you're more creative? The more you further yourself and your personal development, the more creative you actually become in all different areas of your life.
I find that's very true. And it really helps with my mindset because I can speak positivity into my own life, which for most of my life was not how I functioned. Yeah. Okay. And so now with personal development, reading before bed, you know, it just really helps me talk to God when I'm sleeping and to talk to him first thing in the morning and then speak positively into my life all day long. And that helps me with action steps. When you speak positively into your own life, it makes it a lot easier to take on the challenges that come up and move in a positive direction.
You guys, listen to what I heard yesterday on this exact topic that Colleen's talking about. I listened to Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's a world-renowned scientist and loves Jesus all the same time. She just killed it on this this wisdom challenge I've been sitting in on. One of the things that she talked about, as science has revealed, is that as we speak words out over ourselves and our bodies, they actually get buried down into the cellular level. Mm-hmm. And so she's a phenomenal scientist. So she's talking about how many billions of cells we have and all this kind of stuff. So there's this structural DNA that sits in each and every one of our cells. So that as we say those words, positive or negative, and Dan, to your point, whatever the experience was, as we walk away from it, we tell our minds and our bodies, physically now our bodies, research has confirmed that we're telling our bodies what's going to come of this. And the way that she described it, I'm not doing it justice at all, but the way that she described it, what happens at the cellular level when we take that personal development material or take scripture or take something positive about ourselves or about our situations and then speak it out loud, what happens at actually at down all the way down to the genetic DNA level? I was like, man, my mind is so incredibly like encouraged and blown all at the same time thinking about that.
I absolutely agree. And if you just remove the science from it for a moment, it's really what one of the core principles talked about in the book, Think and Grow Rich, right? Because it starts off with an exercise of living into your intention by speaking it out loud to yourself 2 times a day. But he didn't go into the science behind it, but he talked about how powerful that experience becomes is, you know, whatever it is, whatever amount of money it is that you intend to have in your possession by the end of a specific time frame, and then how you intend to serve others in order to obtain that amount of money by the end of that specific time frame, or the things that you're speaking out loud. The science behind it does get cellular. I've heard several discussions on the topic, and I love it. I'm not a scientist by any means, but we'll certainly go through and provide a link to some of her research. And thank you for sharing that as well. I think, to answer your earlier question, Anita, that for me, it does provoke new thought processes and new ideas, and it inspires me to action in different ways. And one of the things I know to be true is nothing new exists under the sun, right? Everything we do has been done before, maybe similarly to how we might see ourselves doing it. But what I've found, by the way, I think it's interesting. We all here have the heart of a teacher. Colleen, you are the active teaching role, but we all have the heart of a teacher, because when I read, I read to learn how to teach. If I'm interested in something, I want to know, I want to immerse myself in it in the moment and be able to at least talk about it educated later. And so being able to share from that perspective, and that allows me to then take the message that's being written and put my own words to it, which is really the definition of thought leadership, right? When you're able to take a message, put your own words and your own feelings or your own inspiration behind that message and make it your own. I think the best way to describe that is Steal Like an Artist is another book that's out there. And the core concept is, you know, taking other people's work and putting your name on it. But I like that concept, especially if you're stuck in where to get started and sharing your ideas. Just take someone else's idea and use it. I would encourage you to put your own words to it, to put your own heart behind it. You know, what lesson or insight did you gain from it, and turn that around and share that. That's where you start making real progress and traction in the area of personal development. Looking at what you're reading, being able to share that with your own experiences behind them. So I love that. And I know we've talked mostly, this whole episode about spiritual. So I think it's pretty clear where we all stand on that. And I think some simple action ideas with regards to where people might start. I'll speak because I feel like I'm the less experienced here. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know that my journey has only recently started developing more. I'm getting back into that place where I'm comfortable talking about it. And it's been many years for me. So what did I do? I relocated and I looked around me and I said, well, how do I plug into a community, find support to be able to rub elbows, so to speak, with other people that might inspire me or that I might have an opportunity to reach in some way with the gifts that I bring. Mostly I was looking at connecting with people, and there were two things that came up for me. One of them was the Chamber of Commerce here locally. From a business perspective, as an entrepreneur, being able to get outside of my house is important. And so that was an opportunity for that. And then the church. I've been searching most of my life for a church community that I felt right in. And I didn't stop my search. I just explored new churches. Every place I went, I've explored new churches. And where does it feel good, right? Am I told to check my problems at the door, or am I accepted for how I am today, how I show up today, and let's start there? And I found that. So I would just encourage people to reach out to church leaders in their community. Explore what they're doing. Is that a good fit for you or not? And if not, go to the next one. With regards to Bible study, one of the things I learned from a Christian university that Colleen happens to teach at is, if you've listened to my podcast, you know which university it is now. Sorry, Colleen. But one of the things I learned in the Bible studies there is choose a Bible that you can easily read and understand. Don't worry about whether it's a King James version, an NIV version, whatever other version, ESV. There's lots of versions, and it can be confusing and overwhelming. The easiest way to start is to choose one that you're comfortable reading, that's easy for you to understand and start getting into the Word, not worried about the specifics of language and the specifics of any other technical jargon that could come along with some of those versions. Just find one that you can easily read and start learning. That's the best place to get started. So with that said, unless you have objections, we'll go on. In the interest of time, I want to be mindful both of your times for joining me today and then those that might be listening. Let's move over to career. You know, let's just cover some top tips on development and career perspective. And I'll start by saying that this masterclass is exactly what we're doing with that, right? It's going to be heavily focused on development in the aspect of career, but it's not just career, but we're going to guide you through how you can start really relooking, reframing your idea around work, career, what opportunities exist for you beyond where you're at right now.
Yeah, working in your career, and it requires, if you're going to find the life you love, and the work you love specifically, it requires a mindset shift. Okay. And that's what I have had a couple of times. And one of the most important things is how you define success, failure, and effort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you can identify how you define those three items, they will help you go a long way to finding the career and the life you love.
Yes, 100%.
I would say the other element to that is you start looking for clues and patterns that exist in your life. If you're not sure, so to Colleen's point, if you're not sure what, let's say you're in a job that is not a great fit for you and you're looking for something that's a great fit for you. So you start looking for those clues that have what do you enjoy doing? Mm-hmm. Where's your specialized skill set? What do you do naturally that nobody else does yeah. very easily, but it comes easily to you? And that you can see how that can actually apply to any job scenario that is out on the spectrum for all the different ways that we can make money these days. And so I would start with those desires and interests and skill sets that exist, and then hone those skill sets. Don't be a generalist. Really get out and dive into those areas of interest and become really good at it. Become amazing at it, better than all your competitors, so that you don't come to work being, I can't think of another word, but you don't come to work like trying to be a slouch at being a online marketer. You come to work killing it because you not just only enjoy the skill, but you have the mindset to say, I'm going to go back out and be the best at the skill. But then also you take the time to really cultivate that skill so that when you go out into the marketplace, man, you are the best at what you do. You
yes.
are killing it. And the joy that comes from actually doing that activity I had a client one time and she says, Anita, I really have done this skill set all my life, but I hate it. What should I do? It was kind of like, oh my gosh, let's break this down. And so we went through the process. Why do you hate it? What's going on? And then push comes to shove at the end of the conversation, the end of the process of coaching her through this process that we take clients through, the three of us together, is we realize like, oh, okay, actually she's really good at it. We need, in her case, what we need to do is shift the way she applied those skills, because mm-hmm. the reality was she was good at the skill set. She just had at that time in her career, she had a poor application of it.
Yeah.
We've all worked with other clients where they are just in the wrong job, period. And you need to start over and do something different. So.
Well, and I want to make a couple points, because what you said might be overwhelming to think about starting out and immersing yourself in a world and becoming great at something. And here's the encouragement for people that might be feeling that way, is to get great at anything, you first have to practice being poor at it. To be good at it, you have to practice being really good at being poor at it. To be great at it, you have to then practice being really, really good at being good. Right. So that's just a word of encouragement that we all have to start somewhere and to think about where you're at right now. Maybe you've spent 10, 15, 20, 25 years developing the things that you're great at right now. It doesn't start overnight. So keep that in mind. And personal development is one aspect to you think about when it comes to developing a skill set or a new thing that you want to pursue. The other thing I want to mention, I lost my train of thought, you guys. go ahead, Colleen, you have something.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to add, don't limit yourself when you are assessing your skills and talents and abilities. Your skills, talents, and abilities can be anything. One of the other businesses that I have is building Lego houses. Okay. Now, I got started building Lego houses because I wanted to get closer with my brothers who were 13 and 15 years younger than me. Well, it turned into a skill, but it wouldn't have been something I normally would have looked at when it came to a career, obviously, but it is a skill. So don't limit yourself when you say, oh, well, this is a skill, but it can only be applied here. No. Look at all your skills, all your talents, all your abilities, and move from there.
No, I absolutely agree. And I regained my train of thought. What I wanted to say is that I've had several conversations with people who we were talking about applying their skills into a new place in life. And one of the places they got stuck in specifically, for those that don't know, and I've talked about it on the podcast before, but it's the Work and Life You Love career seminars that we're really going to be introducing and talking about. We're going to share more about what that looks like in our masterclasses, where we give you actionable steps that you can use to address each of these areas. Beyond what we've talked about in the podcast today, we're going to really dig a little bit deeper, answer some of your questions, and spend some time with you in conversation about what this could look like for you, whether you choose to join us beyond that or not. We're not committed to. What we're committed to is giving you the tools and resources you need to take action to change your scenario, your life, your work today. So I digress. My conversation with these other people recently have led me to one thing. People get stuck in the process of thinking about potentially entrepreneurship as an example, and thinking about how they can really do what you're talking about here, Anita, and apply themselves in a new way. They start looking at what jobs might be a great fit for them. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do is to write your own ideal job description. And then from that, look at your resume and rewrite your resume to fit what your ideal job looks like for you. Whether it exists or not doesn't matter at this point. Just write it. Do the work to write that job description. What does ideal work day look like for you? What are you doing day to day? What are you responsible for? How much money are you making? And then write your resume to fit that job description. And that's going to do two things for you. One, it's going to help open your eyes about what jobs might actually exist that fit that criteria. So it helps us to reframe how we might be looking for jobs. Because right now, I would imagine if you wanted a job that you might be going and looking for sales careers or, you know, customer service or whatever it may be, you know, marketing. And gosh, marketing gets very deep. You can go all kinds of ways with it. So you might start with that mindset because you have a particular skill set that aligns with one of them. But when you're trying to recreate, so to speak, where you're going, it's hard to get away from that mindset and search mentality. I'm going to encourage you to go write your resume and job description and then start looking again at what might be different. And you might also see that what you've written does not exist. And then you'll have some answers as to where you might be a great fit to start when it comes to the world of entrepreneurship. When we speak to entrepreneurs or people who want to be entrepreneurs, one of the biggest sticking points is, how do I decide what to start with? And by doing the work in a resume and writing your own job description, you have an outline for where you should start. And that is not covered in the workshop, but there's a freebie. So let's, in the interest of time, ladies, if it's okay with you, let's just give a couple quick tips about the financial, the social, and the family aspects. I know, Anita, you opened up with family, so we can reserve that one for the last here, but the financial and social aspects are next on the list.
Well, when you're dealing with your financial situation, you deal with it much as Dan has just said, when he said, write your own job description. You have to write your own financial description. Where are you? Where do you want to be? And then build the steps to get to where you want to be. Okay. Now, I told you I came from financially problematic background, being a widow and having a young husband, and I was young. We did not have much of anything. But I went through being on Medicaid and Medicare and moving through those systems. And then getting all out of those systems and learning that, okay, this is where I need to start building my financial life. Okay. And it's not just about getting out of debt. It's about seeing where you want to be and building and utilizing the current resources to build to where you want to be. Okay.
I love what you said. Well, I love what you said because I heard someone else speaking about this topic the other day and I had an insight moment, right? I am a fan of financial peace and what Dave Ramsey's teaching. Here's where I get stuck, though, is having a debt-free life is one thing. It doesn't solve any problems. Having a paid-for car doesn't solve any problems. A paid-for house doesn't solve any problems. It might solve some immediate financial worries that you have as you're looking at the bills coming in. But what you alluded to here, and I want to bring it with a point of clarity, is that this is really a place that I've been talking about and working on recently. I talked about my words for the year, you know, freedom, saying the word no more, and intentionality. That came from looking at goals not as a destination to get to, rather a place to come from. Who do I need to be? What does it mean for me to be debt-free? Not just being debt-free is my goal, but who do I need to become to live in that place where I can enjoy a debt-free lifestyle, where I can enjoy a paid-for home? And so those pieces that you just brought up, for me, are super important. Anita?
Yeah, I mean, we've used FPU for years. It's the mechanics in FPU are phenomenal. They really are. The other thing that I really love is that there's a heavy undercurrent of emotional stuff that goes on. So if you're married and you're in a committed relationship and your finances are mingled, there's just emotional baggage that we all have around money. And so being able to break that stuff down. Now, the biggest takeaway for that is I really genuinely encourage everybody to have the tough conversations, but not in a blaming way. So when finances are an issue and the emotion levels are really high, being able to navigate those kinds of conversations with your spouse they're not just critically important, like they might be the most important conversation you have, but being able to do that in a way that's not blaming, that doesn't take a victim position or anything like that. It just says, these are the facts. This is where we are. What are we going to do together to figure this thing out? So if you have debt, my goodness, do what it takes to be able to take care of that debt. Maybe turn Netflix off and go get a second job, or I don't know, something like that. Like go handle your own business at home to be able to move to those ideas that you have. Then the other thing that Colleen mentioned is being able to write out your financial story. What's the next chapter? Well, have that conversation with your spouse. I know for my husband and I, there are often times, first of all, you guys, we often have very different ideas about absolutely everything. It's one thing when we come together, though, we have new ideas that we couldn't have all on our own. And so I love that about our marriage. And I've really learned to embrace that about our marriage. But remember, I said that we usually start off at very different mindsets and very different ideas. So if you write out your version and your spouse writes out their version, well, then bring those things together and talk about them together and say, okay, where are we, our debt together, or not our debt, but our finances together, and what's the solution? And again, not blaming language, not victim language, none of that stuff. There's really no room for that in the body of Christ. There's no room for that in healthy marriages. We are, as responsible adults, we, you know, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, all right, here's the deal. This is the problem. This is what are some solutions to be able to fix this? And then let's go forward and figure these things out. Because you guys, my goodness, we're meant to actually prosper and to thrive in life. Like that's, I'll just say right out there, that's God's design for us, that we would actually be in that place when we're prospering and we're helping others and we're enjoying some of the fruits of our labors ourselves. So that is a bigger picture of finances and building wealth in all areas of your life, not just finances, but that's it's a little bit more of a stadium view, if you will, of finances and wealth and going after it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was just going to jump in and say, sell the car. and if you get that reference, you'll know where it came from. If you don't, it's okay. We'll put a link in the show notes. But I just had to throw that out there for a bit of humor. Maybe it's internal humor, but I found it funny. But yes, no, absolutely. And here's what I think comes with all of that. And everything we've really talked about today is installing, to steal from the words of Michael Hyatt, installing healthy habits, right? Financial Peace University, what it does for people doesn't launch them into being multimillionaires necessarily, but it gives them the tools necessary by installing healthy habits, healthy habits in communicating in your relationship, healthy habits in communicating with money, how you learn to build healthy habits with your relationship with money and your spouse and, you know, yourself, are all wonderful things that come out of attending something like Financial Peace University. So, that's been wonderful. So social is the last one, and I'll kick this one off if that's all right. But social is, because we've spent, and unless y'all disagree, we spent time talking about all of the other aspects minus really focusing intentionally on social. And I've talked about this on the podcast before. So really for me, social, if I was going to offer some tips, it's to remove your own barriers and blinders. What I have discovered is the most interesting people you could ever meet are already in front of you. They're sitting next to you at the airport. They're sitting next to you on the train or the bus, or they're sitting next to you in traffic, which I don't encourage you to roll down your window and just start hollering from car to car, but you might look a little weird, and that's okay. But, you know, wherever you're at, look around you. Look and see who is standing there, who is sitting there next to you, who's sitting across the room from you. And I'm going to invite you there to just open up the conversation. I heard a story recently, without going too in depth, but the lady was sitting at an airport, and she's an amazing coach, but she was sitting at the airport in the beginning of her coaching journey professionally. And she said, okay, well, here's the situation. I'm sitting in the airport. Surely someone around me is fascinating and interesting. So she started looking around and being genuinely curious about the people around her. And she spotted a gentleman across the room that was like 6'7", had a bunch of gold rings on his hands. Turns out he was an NBA ball player. But she went over to him and she said, sir, you look like the most interesting person here. Can we have a conversation? It's not any harder than that, right? Look around you at the people that already exist in front of you, and everywhere you're going, someone there is the most fascinating person you could ever meet if you just take a chance to introduce yourself and have a conversation. Maybe not, but 9 times out of 10, what I've found so far is people are more than willing to have a conversation. So a personal testimony, I did some traveling last week, and I won't go into depth about that publicly just yet, but I did some traveling last week, and I found the same thing to be true. I was in the airport, I looked around, and I said, who can I have a conversation with? Had a fabulous conversation with a salesman for a high-end appliance distributor, appliance manufacturing company that sells to distributors, rather. He told me all kinds of great things about his sales journey over the last 26 years. What a wonderful time to sit and talk with someone and learn something about them. I had a great experience with that. So that's my suggestion from a social perspective, is get involved with church community events. You know, going back to the spiritual piece, get involved with your local chamber of commerce, whether you're a business owner or not. You can go as a representative of your community and be a member at the chamber and get involved in some of their events and become socially active in those things. And all it takes is meeting one new person at a time.
Yeah, just be very intentional about this. You know, whether it's you go to the grocery store, and I know you go to the grocery store just to go and buy stuff and get out. But sometimes you're caught in lines, like what happened here in Tennessee. We just had a major snowstorm, and the lines at the store were outrageous. Well, you're standing in line, talk to the person next to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Just have a short conversation. You never know where those conversations will lead.
That's absolutely right.
You guys, I love that you're both talking about this. So let's talk about personality styles a little bit. My personality style is very introverted. I do not get, I love talking to people one-on-one or small groups. I don't always love like big, massive gatherings of people. I tend to get overwhelmed in that setting. My husband is the exact opposite. He's the kind of guy, he's a Jersey guy, he's an Italian. He will make friends with absolutely everyone. So what we've noticed over the years, and as a homeschooling family, what we've noticed over the years, every time we go out, we talk to people. And he's taught me that. He's taught me how to be so comfortable in my skin that my kids know wherever we go. Now, in our household, we're likely going to talk to somebody. We're going to pray for somebody. We're going to see somebody get healed. We're going to meet some new people. We're going to do all sorts of things when we're out of the house. Don't let your personality style be an excuse not to engage with people. The other thing that I will say right now is people are hurting. People are hurting. They are confused. They need help. They need the connection of other people. So just simply start with a smile. Hey, how are you doing today? I mean, it can literally, you guys, it can be as easy as that of just, regardless of your personality style, there's always a way to connect with someone that's right in front of you. And they'll be blessed for just acknowledging that they even exist. And you'll be blessed by just having a conversation and just trying it. I will say, after a lot of years of being married to my husband, it gets easier. If you're afraid of talking to people, or you're uncomfortable, or you don't know what to say, it does get easier. So just go out socially. I'll just repeat myself. We need other people. We are designed and made to be in community with others. We are not designed for what's going on right now, this isolation thing and all this stuff that's going on. I'm not disrespecting anybody's belief systems or anything, or not, I'm not being crass about pandemic stuff, related stuff. What I am saying is we need people. We need community. We need other people to come alongside of us, acknowledge us, look us in the eye, have a conversation. And then we know as humans, then we know we matter. Oh my gosh, somebody said hello to me today. I matter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I'll just throw this out there that, you know, if you're an introvert and that's something you face, because I'm quite the opposite as well. I've learned, maybe I didn't always have it. I think I always have had it, though, is I'll just talk to anybody standing in line. I'll come up with something, and maybe it's just a two sentence exchange, and that's it, and that's okay. What's the worst that can happen? That's the first thing I'd say, right? Think about that. What's the worst that can happen is they ignore you. And no, nobody's really hurt from that. You know, your feelings might be a little shattered in the moment, but you'll recover pretty quickly and you'll be able to do it again. But really, it comes down to be genuinely curious. Colleen talked about being intentional, and I'm going to say be intentionally, genuinely curious. Curious about the people around you. What makes them tick? What are they thinking about? What does life look like for them? What do they dream about? What are they scared of? They might be scared to talk to people in line. Be genuinely curious about career. Be genuinely curious about how you can change your views on finances. How can you build healthy habits in finances? Be genuinely curious about your relationship with people, with your social life, with all of the things that we talked about today. It comes down to, if you can just be genuinely, intentionally curious when you look around, you will start to see things differently. So I feel like that's a great place to wrap up. I know that we touched on some tips. We touched on all of the topics in the Wheel of Life, some a bit more in depth than others. But again, I want to remind people to join us. If you'll go to danw.us/masterclass, you'll see we have a sign up for our free masterclass. We're going to offer four times. Two of them we'll be hosting on the Clubhouse environment, which is a cellular app, app for your cell phone. You can join us in a voice-only environment. We'll have those recordings available if you wanted to check those out later. But if you want to be able to join us live and ask questions and participate in discussion with us, we'd invite you to join us there. The other two will be hosted on Zoom. The dates will be in the show notes. Of course, they'll be on the registration page as well. If you sign up for that, we're sending you, as a thank you gift, a free download of How to Improve Your Job Search Process Now, as well as some other bonus pieces like interview tips and top questions to ask interviewers, top questions interviewers might ask you, so that you can be fully prepared in your job search. So I want to remind everybody to join us again next time so that together we can all continue to help more people better. And I want to thank you for joining us today. And special thanks to you, Colleen, and you, Anita, for sharing this time with me and with our audience. I look forward to what's coming next with this class and how we're going to be able to serve people through those conversations. So thank you for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Absolutely.